The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole.
Everybody sing.
All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
All right, welcome to a Thursday, or as we like to refer to it around here, Friday Eve. Because, you know, weekend begins tomorrow. But we still have another day. Thursday's always the toughest day. I just watched the most disturbing thing. I got a lot of stuff to cover today. It's Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on over in Congress because they're making some noises like today the House is going to vote on the Build Back Better bill, the reconciliation package. And it's like, how is that possible? They're still waiting on the CBO score, which we heard was coming tomorrow. But apparently some people think, some members of Congress believe that it could come down earlier. And if it does, then they will take a vote tonight. See, they want to leave for Thanksgiving, right? These people have their priorities so screwed up. Just saying. I hope they do vote. I hope they pass it. I hope they can get on with it. It's not going to happen that easily. But so that's what's going on. So I'm, you know, frantically checking all the different news sites that I frequent to see if there's any updated. And there really wasn't. But I came upon a video Mediaite, a site that I really don't like, but they tend to publish a lot of video, a lot of news videos. I don't like their commentary because I think it's a right-wing site trying to masquerade as you know, down the middle. They're not down the middle, but that's neither here nor there. But I came upon some clips from a hearing that was held today. It was a hearing, a confirmation hearing, for a woman named Sahla Omarova. She was nominated by Joe Biden to lead the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. It oversees and regulates the nation's banking industry. And, well, she's good. She's been very critical of the large financial institutions and once said they comprise, quote, a quintessential asshole industry. I like her, right? So, of course, today, Senator John Kennedy, who is an insult to that name, just, you know, don't ever confuse him with the other John Kennedy. This John Kennedy is a Republican and he's a phony bumpkin. I mean, I believe he's Harvard educated, but he does his dumb Southerner act when he's sitting there in the Senate. And he's really not. But he has a problem with Ms. Omarova because she was born in the Soviet Union. Actually, check this out. She's from Kazakhstan. Now, Kazakhstan has a place very near and dear to my heart because that's where my daughter was born. And in fact, timing is everything, right? 21 years ago, today or tomorrow, I get the dates all mixed up. But 21 years ago, right now, I was on my way to the airport. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, flew to Kazakhstan to adopt my daughter. So that's why when I saw this video, man, did it piss me off. Actually, there's a longer video that I first saw, and then I found this one that I'm about to play for you. And I'm going with this one because it includes Senator Elizabeth Warren with her comeback, with her response to this. So in the committee, what committee was it? It was the Senate. Does it tell me which committee it was? I don't know. Sherrod Brown it must be financial services, I'm guessing, doing the confirmation hearing. So Sherrod Brown is the chair of the committee, and he finally has to break in and call John Kennedy out for his red baiting. I mean, what year is this? I'm looking at my watch. What year is this? Wait till you hear. I just got to play this for you because it is so, so astounding. So, all right. So here we go.
You wrote a paper called Systemically Significant Prices, calling for the federal government to set wages, food, gas prices.
What?
In 2020, you wrote a paper called The People's Ledger, where you said we need to abolish bank accounts and make everybody set up an account at the Fed where the federal government will have access
she
to
didn't,
your debt.
But it's not a bad idea. That's
in
not true.
In 2020, you wrote another paper called The Climate Case for a National Investment Authority.
Okay.
Where you said what we need to do, the oil and gas industry, is have the federal
nationalize
government
it.
Bankrupt.
Absolutely.
So
well,
we can tackle climate
should nationalize
climate
it,
change.
But okay.
In 2019, you joined a Facebook group, a Marxist Facebook group.
No, she didn't.
To discuss socialist and anti-capitalist views.
Okay.
Now, that's what I see from your record. And uh-huh. You have the right to believe every one of these things.
And I'm a country bumpkin.
This is America.
This is America.
But I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know whether to call you professor or comrade.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Senator.
Oh, my. I don't know whether to call you professor or comrade.
I'm not a communist. I do not subscribe to that ideology. I could not choose where I was born. I do not remember joining any Facebook group that subscribes to that ideology. I would never knowingly join any such group. There is no record of me ever actually participating in any Marxist or communist discussions of any kind.
This is red baiting in 2021.
My family suffered under the communist regime. I grew up without knowing half of my family. Mm. My grandmother herself escaped death twice under the Stalin regime.
Wow.
This is what seared in my mind. That's who I am. I
Good
remember that history. I came to this country. I'm proud to be an American. And this is why I'm here today, Senator. I'm here today because I'm ready for public service.
Thank you, Professor. I check with my staff.
This
Senator
is
Kennedy,
Sherrod
I've never
Brown.
Interrupted you
okay.
or
in the
they
first
believe
part,
anybody.
Well, hold on. In the first part that I didn't play because it's lengthy, Sherrod Brown interrupted him because he started off with this. When you were a child, you were a member of the youth communist group. And she said, I was born in the Soviet Union. Every child is a, quote, member of the youth communist party, whether they want to be or not. And then he goes into a whole long protracted thing with her. Well, did you resign from it? I want to see your letter of resignation from that group. She said, there is no such thing. When you age out of it, you're out of it. But that's how it works in that country, or did at the time. And he kept berating her, saying, I want to go through your records. You find me if you have a letter of resignation from that youth communist group. And Sherrod Brown interrupted as the chairman of the committee. He said, stop it. And he also pointed out that Senator Tim, so I think he's going to do it right here. Talk about Tim Scott said nobody's doing any red baiting here. Well, what you just saw was red baiting. And be thankful I didn't play that whole clip for you because it runs about 7 or 8 minutes. It's ugly. Ugly. And all I can think of is this could be my kid he's talking to, right? But here, keep going.
Mr. Chairman, and I'm entitled to ask my questions.
And you were, and you were.
I didn't interrupt you when you gave your introduction, and I don't like being interrupted when
Fuck
I'm
you.
Asking my questions.
Senator Kennedy, I heard.
It's called senatorial courtesy.
Oh,
I
God.
Understand that, and there's also senatorial courtesy.
And you may disagree with me. Treating, that's why you have 5 minutes and I have 5 minutes.
Senator Kennedy, senatorial courtesy is also not doing character assassination. I heard Senator Scott.
Well, that's your opinion.
30
Sarah,
minutes
that's
ago.
That's not my opinion.
30 minutes ago, I heard Senator Scott.
Me, but I'm
Shut
entitled
up!
To answer questions
oh, God.
Without you interrupting me. You and I don't agree. I still like you. We're friends.
Oh, fuck you.
You have the right to your opinion, but I've got
I
the
got
right
a song
to
for him.
You can't just interrupt me when I'm asking my question.
You still got a full 5 minutes.
Like
you still got a full 5 minutes.
And you've done
Senator
it before.
Senator Scott just a moment ago said nobody on his side has done any kind of communist insinuation of her character and her background. He just said that, so I'm hopeful that Senator Scott and maybe perhaps Senator Tillis or Senator Toomey or Senator Cramer will call out those people that do character assassination.
Would you not think Senator, Warren is a member of the Young Communists?
Oh, shut up!
I'm not here to answer your question, Senator Kennedy. Senator Warren is recognized for 5 minutes from messaging.
You go. Here, Elizabeth Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Professor Omarova, I know that the giant banks object to your willingness to enforce the law to keep our system safe and that you may cut into big bank profits. So they and their Republican buddies have declared war on you.
Yes.
The attacks on your nomination have been vicious and personal. We've just seen them.
John Kennedy is doing their bidding.
Sexism, racism, pages straight out of Joe McCarthy's 1950s Red Scare tactics.
Yep.
It is all there on full display.
Yep.
Welcome to Washington in 2021.
You go, Elizabeth Warren.
Now, one
That's what I wanted to play for you. Just how disgusting is that? Again, you know, this is my adoption week. And just because somebody was born into that situation, I'm astounded. I'm so astounded. So, you know, I got to do it. John Kennedy of Louisiana, I've got a little song for you.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up, John Kennedy. You red baiting, race baiting, bigoted. Ugh. I, you know, expect that from Ted Cruz because he kind of looks like Joseph McCarthy, you know, just sickening, just sickening. This has been a busy day. This has been a busy week. Let me tomorrow. Aaron Rupar is going to be here. He has the best Twitter feed. And for the last few years, his Twitter feed was the place to go to find anything that any video of what the other side was doing, because his job at Vox. Not Fox, but Vox with a V, was monitoring that. Well, now he's taken that and gone out on his own. He's got a Substack newsletter, and he's going to join us tomorrow to sort of review this week because it's just been crazy. And who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, right? But today, let's get to what happened today. Two things, a lot of things, but two news items of note. The... you know what? Let me pull it up here. We heard yesterday that this was going to happen, but after an extraordinary admission from Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance, who's on his way out, by the way, a new DA has been elected and I guess takes office at the beginning of the year. Cyrus Vance said, quote, "These men did not receive a fair trial. A judge I see that's Joy calling. Hold on, Joy. I'm gonna answer you, but let me finish this and then I'll take your call. A judge vacated the convictions of the two men who were convicted of killing Malcolm X many, many years ago. In fact, let's see, it was Muhammad Aziz and the late Khalil Islam. Each of them served 20 years in prison for a murder they insisted they didn't commit. Aziz is now 83 years old. He was in court today for the decision where the judge reversed it. Maybe too little too late. The other guy is dead. He died after serving his 20 years. Amazing. But there was other incredible news today. The state of Oklahoma was set to put to death a prisoner, a man named Julius Jones. 41-year-old Julius Jones was convicted of the 1999 murder of Paul Howell during a carjacking. There's so much evidence that says this man didn't do it. Oklahoma's Pardon and Parole Board twice ruled in Jones's favor, recommending that his sentence be commuted to life with the possibility of parole. And they later recommended that Governor Kevin Stitt, Republican, governor of Oklahoma, grant him clemency. Well, today, just a couple of hours before he was due to be executed, Julius Jones commuted the sentence. He made it a life sentence, but they're not killing him today. So that happened. I guess we should thank goodness for small favors, right? All right, let's go to the phones. Joy. Hey, Joy calling from Santa Cruz. Hey, Joy.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, what's up?
Oh, I just wanted to say a couple of things. One, I want to give a call out to your chat room.
Okay, chat room is great. We have, you know, I've got two chat rooms, but the one on my website is for the low key, you know, laid back people. It's a very laid back group, who, you know, in a small group. And then there's the YouTube chat room, which is always busier and more, you know, active. So you hang out in the YouTube chat room. You're one of our moderators.
Yes, I am, and I just wanted to say hello to everybody,
mm-hmm.
and give them love.
Okay.
Because they've been really supportive to me lately. But I also wanted to say that what Warren said was absolutely excellent.
Yes, wasn't it?
She is so damned cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Kennedy is a fraud.
Oh, my God. Is he infuriating or what?
He needs to be kicked out of... I don't know. Are we going to get this other idiot kicked out?
No. And can I tell you what? So Paul Gosar, right? That's who you're talking about.
Yes,
Paul
yeah,
Gosar today was, he was censured, something that hasn't happened in the House in over 10 years. So, but you know what? If I play it, I have it queued up on, wait, you know what? I wonder if I have it on this one. Where I have it queued up, you won't be able to hear it if I played it because you're on that computer. Hold on one second. And I don't have it on this one. I only have it on
that
one.
Okay. But I already heard him. He's
right.
An idiot.
Right. You know, so, but the whole thing.
Absolute monster.
What I was going to do is play the censure because it happened yesterday while we were on the air, right? And so I thought it was like a big deal because they said so the member being censured has to stand in the well of the House of Representatives while the censure charge is read, and I thought, ooh, this is a big shameful thing. He's going to have to stand there and take it. And on the video, you can see a number, not all of them, but a group of at least a dozen or so other Neanderthal Republican House members stood around him to, yeah, I guess, to shield him from the hurt, right?
Right.
So,
I don't know.
But this is all it was when Nancy Pelosi, this was the whole thing. Let's see if, here we go.
The House will be in order.
I'll listen on that.
Okay. Representative Gosar present himself in the well. By its adoption of House Resolution 789, the House has resolved that Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona be censured. That Representative Paul Gosar forthwith present himself in the well of the House for the pronouncement of censure. That Representative Paul Gosar be censured with the public reading of this resolution by the Speaker. And that Representative Paul Gosar be and is hereby removed from the Committee on Natural Resources and the Committee on Oversight and Reform.
Okay, so that was it. And she says, that's it. Right? That's it. So that was it. It lasted 30 seconds. Then Paul Gosar leaves, right? Leaves the chamber. And what does he do? He tweets out the damn video again. So that the censure was like nothing. I thought it was going to be. He posted a video that showed a violent attack and a murder of another member and an attack on the President of the United States. And for these reasons, this man had to be censured. But it was just a nothing statement. And then he gets to go. And then for the next hour or so, every Republican, I'm here. Hold on a second, Joy. For the next hour,
Nicole?
Or so, yes. But turn down the radio because I'm hearing it coming back. That's why I pulled you down. For the next hour or so, Republicans all got a minute to say whatever they wanted to say. And Paul Gosar goes back to she hung up. Paul Gosar goes back to his office and tweets out the offending video again. So the censure did nothing. What happens is These people know no shame. They don't care when they're being reprimanded. They ignore it, whether it's a reprimand, a censure, or a subpoena. They act as if there's that Congress or that there's no authority over them. And maybe there is no authority over them. We need to fix that. Joy, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened here. It was weird.
See, what happens is you come up on the same pot on my board as where I have the sound. So, you know, I have two different computers where I play sound from. But if I have someone on the phone, so I can't play sound on that. So I was hearing you talking and I was hearing the sound coming back through the receiver. So that's what was I had to bring you down. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries.
I don't understand all these little details. But I just wanted to say, I really, really care about you.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm just...
Are you okay?
Okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm not.
What?
I'm not going to go where I'm going to go.
What's the matter? What's the matter, Joy?
I'm just totally losing my stress level. Everything's falling apart for me.
I'm so sorry. And you're not alone. Just know you're not alone.
I'm wondering. No, this is something I want to talk to you about. Maybe this. You are the person that I need to talk about this.
Okay.
Or need to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Because Winston, who is also one of your
members, in the chat room, yeah. Winston Smith.
Almost everybody I know has been going through crises lately.
Mm-hmm.
My husband went into surgery.
I
have health crises. Almost every person I personally know are going through crises. Are you willing to find someone who can talk about what the hell is going on?
Well, that's what we try to do every day. I mean, there's so much shit going on.
Not just politics. No,
I know.
This is personal.
Mm-hmm.
This is stuff we're all going through,
and I don't understand.
It's like the end of COVID.
But it's not the end of COVID, right?
It's not
because
quite ended yet.
Numbers are going up again. We're all stressed out. The thing is, the people in the Senate, especially in the Senate, but also some in the House, they don't feel the pain we feel. They think stock market's doing well. Stock market's still breaking records. To the
stock
rich people,
not the measure.
No,
of the community,
it is.
Though.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't affect you and me. That doesn't affect the regular person who are struggling. We're all struggling, right? But all they see is, well, we're doing fine. I don't understand, like the Joe Manchins of the world. They don't understand this need, massive need for relief that thankfully Bernie Sanders and most of the Democrats do get. But
it's not just money, though.
No, it's not just money. It's everything. But money is a big part of it. Let me tell you. So the other day, right, you all came here, and I think it was Tuesday, and I had just gotten the news that I didn't get this job that I went out for. And I was upset because, one, it would have been a great job for me, and two, I could really use the money and the benefits. Because as much as I love doing this, and on most days I do, we're barely scraping by. And so... But I spoke to, last night I had a long talk with an old friend of mine who was actually, this job that I didn't get was at a radio and music industry trade publication. There used to be tons of them. Now there are two. And this one, it's called All Access, right? It's called All Access. There are a website. It's allaccess.com. By the way, anybody can read. It's all free, but you have to register to get on there. But if you want to see it, so it's music charts and stuff like that. But so the job was the AAA editor, and AAA is the format, the music format that I used to work in, which is very eclectic, adventurous music. AAA is the format that breaks new music. There are not many stations around, so it's a niche kind of format. Anyway, the guy I spoke to last night, for a short time in 1997, when one of my stations was sold, and I was out of work. The day we went off the air, I got a call from this other trade publication that's now no longer exists, called the Album Network. And they offered me a job as the rock editor there. And it was great. I just lost my job, and now I'm gainfully employed. My boss was this guy, Jim Nelson, and I thought for sure he's going to go for this job. And so he and I talked to him about it, and he decided not to go for it. for reasons I'll explain in a little bit. But what he told me last night was for 7 years, 7 years, this man has tried to get a job, and 99% of the places he applied to, crickets. He didn't even get so much as a return phone call or email, not even an email saying, thanks for applying, thanks, but no thanks. Nothing. Wow. This is an age thing, right? He's my age. He just turned 62. He's a pro. He's a great writer. He's an editor. He finally got a job outside of the industry. But for 7 years, he thought he was going to be living in his car. There's a problem in this country. And right now, at 62 years old, I'm telling you, I have a resume that many people would kill for in radio. I haven't applied for many radio jobs recently because I'm very picky on what kind of radio I want to do. But the few that I have applied for get the same thing. I don't even get the courtesy of a return email saying, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. We have a rudeness going on in this country. People don't give a shit about anybody else.
Okay. Nicole.
Yes.
Can I say this?
Yes.
I think there's something wrong. There is something wrong in terms of how people are responding to things.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on. It seems like there's almost a pathology.
Yeah.
I think that this damn stupid virus actually made people stupider.
Well, I think it was Donald Trump. I really think it's Fox News. It's the propagandization of the news. It's the fact that half of this country is being fed a diet of lies, but it's being told to them under the guise of news, so they believe it's real, and because they believe it, they're pissed off. If it were real, I'd be pissed off too if I was them. They just are not getting the truth.
The rest of us is
it's killing
us.
Depressed. Right. It's absolutely. I'll tell you where we have to take our good things. We have to realize that there are some good people. Joy, you mentioned Elizabeth Warren, and she spoke up in that hearing. I'm going to play you something else. Katie Porter, who we all love, right?
We love her very much.
Katie Porter. So, and
Kimchi just said Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome. Yes,
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let me share this with you, because Katie Porter pulled out her whiteboard, and I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of problems with the post office lately. One of our regulars,
so have I.
One of the regulars, Stephen, in the chat room, who I did a portrait for. I sent it out last week, and the tracking said it was being delivered on Monday. Well, it wasn't delivered to his house on Monday. They delivered it to the wrong place because the post office is all foobar. Because
our mortgage holder is not the person who sold us our house.
Right,
is not getting her mortgage checks, and she's 80.
Oh man. Well, let me. So Katie
that's
Porter.
It's horrible. It's just like, what the hell is he doing?
That's terrible. Well, Katie Porter pulled out her whiteboard, and let me share this with you because this you will be able to hear. So just hold on and listen. And if you're watching, you'll see it too. Here we go. This is Katie Porter on to Joy.
The audit found that by the spring of 2020, mail delivery was right around 92%. That is about 92% of the mail got there within the standard of on time. That dropped to 80% by the fall of 2020, and by January of 2021 was hovering at around 61%. I realize this has gone up somewhat since then, but I wanted to ask you, when did Mr. DeJoy take over as postmaster? Do you know?
The summer of 2020.
Okay.
The summer of 2020. So June of 2020.
You go, Katie.
And what happened after he took over? Did the rate of on-time mail delivery go up or down?
Went down.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a professor, and I used to do a lot of grading. And 92% is considered widely like an A-. 80 is considered hanging on to the lowest possible B.
Right.
60% is at best a D minus.
Uh-huh.
The Postal Service delivers 48% of the world's mail. Is an institution, it is a civic treasure, and we let it get all the way. What you found is we let it get all the way to that D minus level.
We let it get all the way to that D minus level. I want to hear the rest of that. Katie Porter, that's just a segment that they released. We got to take great joy and pleasure and satisfaction over the fact that we do have people like Katie Porter in there. We have people like Bernie Sanders. I've got a Bernie clip up here that's amazing as well. And know that they're there for the right reasons. Problem is, too many of us are too apathetic and they're not making enough noise. Right now, I'm really nervous about what's going to happen next year because the polling is abysmal. More people want, and you'll hear Howie has a piece up on this and we'll talk about it in a moment.
We need feedback.
What's that?
We need feedback, Nicole. We need, there's someone who just said, this is a great day because we're, because we have venting today. We need to vent.
Yeah. Well, so we can always vent
if you
here.
Can take one day just to let people call in and just vent.
Okay, you got it. We can do that. We usually do that on Festivus, basically. It's the airing of the grievances, but we can do that any day. All right?
Yeah, but I just think it's really important because all of us are frustrated. All of us need to speak to each other and talk to each other.
Yeah.
Hear each other's voices. You know?
I agree.
I love hearing your voice.
Oh, thank you.
I love
you.
Seeing your face. I mean, I wish we were all on Zoom, but, you know, that would be a little confusing.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know what? Maybe one of these days, how about we do this? One of these days, I will get a group Zoom together. I'll put the link up in the chat room and everyone can jump on and we can try to have like a group session. We'll try. It'll be an experiment, but we'll try it. Okay.
That would be wonderful. I mean, I don't want to keep your whole line.
I know. Cause I got to call Howie. I'm already late. So Joy, let me go do that. And thank you for calling. Great idea.
Ask Howie to join us in that. Okay?
Yeah. He does. But he does it in his own way.
Him.
He blogs at downwithtyranny.com, which you should check out because he makes a lot of noise over there.
He thought I was somebody I wasn't, which is weird.
Whatever. All right, Joy, I'm going to run. Thank you for calling. All right, so it is Thursday, and Howie Klein is standing by. So whose turn is it to mix up those Dirty Debbies today? Is it yours? Come on, let's go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of downwithtyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I was like a pincushion the other day. I got lots of shots of various things. All of them combined sort of got me in a bad state.
Right.
But I'm over it.
Okay. Well, good. I know you were busy today at downwithtyranny.com. You put up a couple of columns within like 5 minutes of each other, and they're both really important, and I want to get to them. But there's so much stuff going on right now that a couple of things I want to talk about. One is, and I didn't even know this was happening, but I guess there was a debate in the Senate about the National Defense Authorization Act, and Bernie Sanders, I love that man. I so wish he was president. Did you hear any of the speech he made?
Not only did I hear it, I posted it.
Oh, you did? I didn't. I somehow missed that.
What I posted was the precursor, where he's walking down the hall saying why he's going to vote
against the NDAA. Yeah. Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Since some of us have not heard it, let me just share the first minute or two of his floor speech, because he said everything that needed to be said. You know, it's amazing we have this debate over this the BIF pass, the Build Back Better.
Loaded.
Right. And you know, they're bitching about the money, and yet they're willing to spend ridiculous amounts on what they call defense, what I call war. And they're, you know, that they don't have a problem with. They don't even question it. So here's a little bit of Bernie doing that, talking about that just today in the Senate.
Without objection.
Madam President, day after day here on the floor of the Senate and back in their states, many of my colleagues talk to the American people about how deeply concerned they are about the deficit and the national debt.
Hmm.
They tell us that we just don't have enough money to expand Medicare, to cover dental care for seniors, to cover hearing aids, to cover eyeglasses. We just don't have enough money to do what every other major country on earth does, and that is guaranteed paid family and medical leave.
Right.
At a time when hundreds of thousands of bright young people are unable to afford a higher education and millions are struggling with student debt, my colleagues tell us that we just don't have enough money to provide 2 years of free tuition at community colleges. When we have over 500,000 Americans sleeping out on the streets, including a few blocks away from the nation's capital, we just don't have enough money to build the low-income and affordable housing this country needs. And at a time when the scientists are telling us that we face an existential threat in terms of climate change, we are told that we just don't have enough money to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel and create a planet that will be healthy and habitable for our kids and future generations.
But
just don't have enough money.
Right.
Yet today, the U.S. Senate will begin consideration of an annual defense budget that cost $778 billion.
Oh, my God.
$778 billion for 1 year.
For 1 year.
And that is $37 billion more than President Trump's last defense budget.
Oh, my God.
And $25 billion more than what President Biden requested. And by the way, all of this money is going to an agency, the Department of Defense, that continues to have massive cost overruns year after year, wasting enormous amounts of money.
So, Howie, that's just a bit of it. I'm going to post this video on the blog today where I post the show at NicoleSandler.com because that it runs 27 minutes, but people need to hear it. He's so good.
Yeah. Well, that's why we wanted him to win.
Yes.
last and 4 years before.
I know.
Instead, we have something very, very different in the White House. And, you know, that's the way it is. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Pelosi just announced that she's basically, I mean, it's her way of saying it. She has the votes to pass the social infrastructure
really,
bill.
Does she? Okay, because I know they were talking about doing it today, taking the vote tonight.
They're going to do it tonight.
But did they get the CBO score yet? I thought Josh Gottheimer wouldn't vote without it.
They got it.
Oh, they did get it. Okay.
Yeah. They got the CBO score. There's some debate about, you know, what it says. It's too complicated for any of them to understand anyway. The Republicans are screaming that it's you know, bad. The Democrats are yelling that it's great. So. So anyway, she decided that she's going ahead. She doesn't go ahead with votes unless she's got the vote. She can pass it. So it'll pass. But basically what they're passing is a messaging bill. These House Democrats can say, look, we passed this good thing and that good thing and the other good thing. But they're going to send it over to the Senate, where McConnell, in coordination with Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, will kill it.
Of course.
So it's not a bill that's a serious bill. It's just a bill that the Democrats can use in the midterms. It won't be enough. People won't be satisfied. People want to see drug prices come down, for example. 80% of Democrats want to see drug prices come down. I have a question.
Yeah?
Just a rhetorical kind of question.
Okay.
If 80% of Democrats want to see drug prices come down, how is it possible that the Democrats who cut that off at the knees and who destroyed it, like Kurt Schrader in Oregon, for example, and Lou Correa here in California,
right?
There were a bunch of them, Stephanie Murphy
in Florida.
So there were a whole bunch of them who did it. How can they win their primaries? I don't know that Murphy has a primary, but Schrader certainly has a primary, and Ed Cash has a primary, and Lou Correa has a primary, Henry Cuellar has a primary. These are the people who destroyed the chances of drug prices coming down in return for the drug companies bribing them.
Right.
How can they win their primaries when 80% of Democrats oppose it? I mean, oppose their actions and want to see drug prices come down. It's just unbelievable to me.
I have no idea. But you know what? The second piece that you posted today speaks to that. And the headline, sadly, reads, "Many voters no longer see the Democrats as even the lesser evil." What is going on? The polling numbers are just horrendous. But I can get that people are dissatisfied with this administration because things are going so slowly, and a lot of the things that have been promised that you write out in this post have not happened.
Those things, there's a dozen things
we will.
That the Democrats promised that they're not delivering on.
Right, and we will. But keep this in mind: the Republicans would be better. The fact that the polling is saying they'd rather have Republicans than Democrats at this point on a generic ballot, the generic Republican over the generic Democrat in Congress? Seriously? But maybe the reason why is what you wrote here.
A very, very large number, almost a quarter of people polled, said they wouldn't vote for either of them. Well, they wouldn't vote for either Trump or
right.
Biden.
Right. Here we go again. Why can't we get somebody great to run for president? Why are we always, it's like the dregs. I guess it's a tough job. I wouldn't want it. Doesn't pay great in the big, for me it does, but in the big scope of things for rock stars, it doesn't pay great. Why would anybody want that job? I don't know. But, they do. And I think it says something about the people who want it. There are people who are power hungry. I did an interview last week with a guy named Brian Klass. Do you know him? Brian Klass, Klaas. He wrote a book called Corruptible: Who Gets Power and and it changes us. Or who gets power. But it's about power. And the people that want it are these power hungry people. We don't get the best people for the job. But anyway, you're right. Just a dozen
but
things.
On the other hand, when the best people show up, they don't get elected.
Right.
I mean, you would agree, I'm sure, that Bernie is the best people.
He
didn't get elected.
Without a doubt. I know.
Instead, we have, Obama making the decision and telling Clyburn to carry it out for him that Biden is the one.
Yep. And
we,
they
now
did.
We have what I called from the very beginning, the second worst president in contemporary American history.
Wow. You see, you think, and I won't go that far because
I know you won't.
Trump
but I'm looking into the future.
Trump was horrendous. And
And
what about W? George W. Bush, who lied us into those wars, who just was.
Yes. They're all terrible. They're not terrible. I'm just saying that Biden will turn out to be at the end, in that category of not just a normal but horrible president.
What I'm worried about is he's going to be relegated. He's going to be like a Jimmy Carter with good intentions, but totally didn't get anything done. And I hate saying it because I don't want to I don't want to help that along. I've been trying to be somewhat of a cheerleader. That's not my job, though. My job is to call out the bullshit when I see it. And unfortunately, I can't hold my tongue. So anyway, let's go through this 12 things.
Before we go through the 12, which I'm anxious to do.
Okay.
Let's one more thing.
Okay.
Which is, and you were going there, and then you sort of veered off in a different direction.
Okay.
I think you were going there, which is that look what the media is presenting as alternatives in 2024 to Biden.
It's, the media.
If he's not going to run again, look what they're offering instead.
Oh,
Pete
my God.
Buttigieg.
Of course.
I mean, what the hell? How did that happen? And Kamala Harris, I mean, at least I understand with Harris, she would be on a short list. But, I mean, not that I would ever support her. But she's awful enough. But Mayo Pete, well, how does that happen?
They have been pushing Mayo Pete on us for, since he all of a sudden came out of South Bend, Indiana, and said, "Hey, I'm your guy. I'm going to be president." It's like, who the fuck are you? You're the mayor of this tiny town.
He hired the best PR person.
Yeah, Liz Smith,
of the earth.
Listen.
She is amazing.
Yep.
She's been with him for the whole run. She is beyond belief, and that's why he is where he is. Otherwise, he's a nothing.
Wow.
He just got the best PR person in the world.
I guess. I just don't get it. You know, he speaks well. He's well spoken. He speaks in such platitudes. In fact, during the campaign, somebody put up a website that was Mayo Pete platitude generator, which was just, it was perfect because every time he speaks, he said a lot of flowery words that don't really mean anything. It's frustrating.
And he learned that McKinsey.
Right, at McKinsey.
That's what they do. That's what they train their consultants to do. So he was well-trained in doing just all this disgusting stuff that he does. Anyway, let's get to the 12.
Okay, so you wrote, just a dozen things voters can see about Democratic Party governance after giving them majorities in the Senate and the House and giving them the White House. One.
So in other words, this is why the voters gave the Democrats the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. They did it for these reasons, and the Democrats are giving them nothing of these 12 things.
No raise in the minimum wage. Right. Second is the weak, puny Democrats don't have the will to protect their besieged voters from Republican disenfranchisement efforts. That's what kills me is what are they doing about it? Nothing. They know they're stealing our right to vote. They're stealing the election processes in county after county and doing nothing about it. It's just we're watching it happen and we're powerless to stop it. Number three. Drug prices are still 10 times what they are in much of the rest of the world. Number four, Medicare still doesn't cover dental costs. Number five, the age requirement for Medicare is still 65. Number six, taxation is still patently unfair to working people. Number seven, corruption in general and lobbyists in particular still reign supreme in Washington. Number eight, there is no family leave bill and probably won't be one. Number nine, student debt is still crippling millions of Americans and the economy. Number 10, cost-free tuition doesn't even get mentioned anymore. Number 11, Biden's actions on global warming, climate change are as bad as Trump's despite the sugared lies. Okay. And number 12, a doomed House messaging bill is not the same as passing legislation that will help American families.
And that we can come back to when the votes come in November of 2022.
Yeah.
And look at that as the reason why the Democrats are going to lose all of the swing districts, all of them.
My stomach is in knots. I mean, this is just so depressing. And it feels like we're powerless to do anything because, now I appreciate Nancy Pelosi said, if you don't pass the BBB, we're not leaving for Thanksgiving until you pass this Build Back Better Act. Well, you know what? December 3rd is a week from tomorrow. That's when the government runs out of money. And a week after that, we hit the debt ceiling. But guess what? Next week, they're on recess again. And they were off last week. What the hell? Are they going to do the work that we're going to hit up on those deadlines? And then it's crisis again instead of them doing what they need to do.
Well, a little good news on that, which is that it looks like Schumer and McConnell kind of made like an agreement that, you know, the left, you know, the radicals yell and scream, and then they'll pass the they'll pass it. So that's going to probably wind up being okay, as it always is at the end.
Oh, you mean the debt ceiling?
Yeah, the debt ceiling. In terms of their not doing their jobs, it's a matter of how you define their jobs.
Right.
We think of their jobs of them working for us and doing stuff for the American people. That's how we look at it. They don't. Their world is a very different world. Their staff and their consultants, their families, everyone they speak to, they all think they have a different job than that. It's not to serve the American people. It's to further their careers. And in most, and right now, what they're thinking about is going back to their districts and raising money and campaigning.
Yeah.
That, to them, that's their job.
Right.
That's not their job to us.
Right.
That's their job in their own minds and in the minds of all the people around them. So they don't even think that their job is other than that. The only time they think about serving the people is when that helps their careers. That's it.
Right. No, and that's astounding. You know, this is when I think maybe we should have term limits. I don't like the idea of term limits because it means that Bernie Sanders wouldn't be there. And when we have somebody good, I want to keep him for as long as we can. But it would get rid of Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Jim Clyburn, Dianne fucking Feinstein. She's 88 years old already, and she's still talking about running for re-election again. Chuck Grassley already filed the paperwork. He's older than Dianne Feinstein. Einstein, and he's running for re-election. Get over yourselves already.
They define themselves by their jobs. Without their jobs, they are nothing. They're a big zero. And that's what the problem is.
It really is.
They don't. I saw the same thing in the music business, where you had ancient people in a business that caters to young people, and you didn't have young people in the decision-making process. And instead, you had, you know, really, really old people who were great at one time but aren't necessarily great anymore. I don't want to use that as a blanket thing to everybody. But there were people like that. And that's because they define themselves by their jobs. They might sleep all day in their offices and not do anything, but they still could hold their heads up as the president of a record company or some top executive in a record company. And without that, who are they?
Right.
They find that they're nothing. They don't have any inner core. They don't have anything else in their lives, just that. I saw that in the music business all the time. And I'm not necessarily talking about artists, although it's probably true of artists too. I'm talking about executives in the music business. I thought that when I retired as president of a record company at a relatively young age, I would set some sort of an example for my colleagues. Not one of my colleagues saw that example as anything that they wanted to follow. Not one.
Wow.
Not a single one.
Wow. There is breaking news. The CBO final summary table has been released. Obviously, I can't read the whole thing, but what it says, here's the summary. CBO estimates that enacting this legislation would result in a net increase in the deficit totaling $367 billion over the 2022 to 2031 period, not counting any additional revenue that may be generated by additional funding for tax enforcement. Okay, so I think that's less than they expected for a $1.75 or whatever it is trillion-dollar bill. $367 billion is not, we're talking ridiculous monopoly money numbers, but is not that horrible. That shouldn't hold anybody up.
Right, and they're going to go forward with it. I mean, the Republicans may scream about it, but they weren't going to, even if the CBO would have said, oh, there's going to be a net gain of $1 trillion,
right,
the Republicans would be against it anyway. So it doesn't matter what they say.
Right.
This is just out the conservative Democrats, if they can, you know, swallow this or not. And, you know, Pelosi has never lost a vote that she's brought up. And I don't believe that she would have said, she announced a while ago that she would, that there would be a vote tonight.
Right. She would not. She doesn't. She will not take a vote if she doesn't absolutely have the votes. And it says the House, that they just signaled the 15-minute warning bells. U.S. House is expected to return at about 6:05 p.m. It is now 5:54. So they are going to do this tonight because you know why? So they can go home for Thanksgiving.
Yes. That's right.
That's
it was going to have to either be today or tomorrow.
That's right.
And that's what they fought about, whether it would be today or tomorrow. And finally, the people who said, look, we're going to pass it anyway. We might as well do it and not tomorrow. Let's do it
right,
today.
Right, do it today so we can leave a day early.
Yeah.
Because that's all they care about. And Kyrsten Sinema has to go run a triathlon somewhere.
Happy they at least did that.
Yeah, well, at least that's something. Because I was really worried they weren't going to get this passed. But the thing is, they don't have a deal in the Senate. They had a deal to pass it in the House. They don't have that deal in the Senate. And it's all up to, you know, King and Queen Sinema. What do I call them? Manchinema.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh, it's so frustrating. By the way, did you hear the red baiting that went on, I believe, in the Senate Financial Services Committee today, where John Kennedy was berating this woman who is up for a job and dealing with the currency, Office of Currency. But she was born in the Soviet Union in Kazakhstan, which is where Allison is from. And because she was born there while it was the Soviet Union, he's like red baiting her. He's like pretending he's Joseph McCarthy.
Should I call you professor or should I call you
comrade? Oh, my God. What year is this? What year is this? It's just, you know, yes, the Democrats are bad. Here's where I take issue with you. But they are the lesser of two evils. The Republicans are just out of their fucking minds. These people are batshit crazy. And to turn over control to them again, we're done as a nation if that happens. Are we not?
Yep. I think, we'll see. You know, it's funny. You and I feel that way. A lot of progressives feel that way. And I was reading something today at The Atlantic by David Brooks. I don't normally read David
no,
Brooks.
Nor do
but
I.
He's a mainstream conservative Republican.
Yes, right.
He's not a liberal.
He's not a Trumper.
But he's not a fascist.
Right.
He's not a fascist.
Yep.
And he went to a fascist Republican conference.
Uh-huh.
And he was just amazed by what he was hearing. And basically what he was hearing was a mirror image of what you just said.
Yeah.
It was these Republicans saying that or fascist Republicans saying the Democrats want to destroy America. They want to kill us.
Yeah.
Everything that they do is evil. I mean, in other words, everything that we say about them, that's what they were saying to each other at this conference. And Brooks was just horrified. He was mortified and he said that is the future of the Republican Party. He said these are the intellectuals. These are the leaders of the future of the GOP. These are the people who went to Harvard and Princeton and Yale.
Right.
These are the ones who are going to be in charge, and that's what they think about progressives and about Democrats.
It's terrifying.
Out to destroy America.
But now, meanwhile, it's projection because they're pushing on us. They're saying we do the things that they're actually doing.
Yep, but they believe it. And what he was trying to say is that not only do they believe it, but that they're not morons.
Oh,
that this group is not morons. Now, he quoted some of the people, and he may hear that and think, okay, well, they're not morons. I read those quotes and I say, yes, they are.
Look at John Kennedy. Look at Kevin McCarthy. Look at Paul Gosar. I mean, I could go down the list. They may be educated, but they're still fucking morons.
Don't forget Mark Meadows, by the way.
No.
I did a little research into him today. Not that this is like covered up. This is known by people who have looked at his record.
Yeah.
But this is and he's from Florida. This is although he represented a district in North Carolina,
right?
Before Trump plucked him out of Congress and made him his fourth
chief of staff.
His fourth chief of staff. But he Meadows flunked out of college after 1 year. Okay,
oh,
so he left college after a year. That's not like that unusual,
right?
not a cardinal sin necessarily. But then he lied about it for his whole career and claimed that he had graduated from college and had a bachelor's degree.
Oh my God!
Including on social media.
Wow.
So like his Wikipedia site, for example, said that he had graduated from such and such. I think the University of Southern Florida or something like that. And it was all a lie. So, and guess what? I mean, there are
Nobody
a number
cares.
Of Republicans who have done the same thing. And these people are considered leaders and intellectuals.
And the American public just doesn't see it or doesn't want to see it. That's what gets me.
Doesn't care.
That's even worse. The apathy is what's going to kill us. Here in Florida, it's so apathetic. People just don't show up. They don't vote. They don't show up. They don't get involved. And I think that's what's going to kill us. Either way, I think we're dead in a couple of years. So let's party while we can. All right. Howie Klein, we're out of time. On that note, thank you. Oh,
all right.
And next week we won't be here because it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I'll see you the week after.
See you the week after. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Howie.
You too.
Thank you so much. All right. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Bye. All right. There you go. Howie Klein. Find him at downwithtyranny.com. And while you're there, do check out the Blue America Pack and give if you can, because Blue America, Howie and Blue America, they identify the best progressive candidates to get behind in the primary so that they can be the nominee. And maybe we finally get a progressive majority in Congress and can get some shit done. Good stuff done. I shouldn't call it shit. Life is shit, but you know what I mean. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another show. Tomorrow's Friday, as I mentioned, Aaron Rupar is going to be here. He's now got his own thing. He's no longer with Vox, but we'll have some fun with video and audio and just how each week gets a bit crazier than the one before. Yes, I will set up the a day for us to just bitch and moan and do whatever we want. I will set up. I got to figure out how to configure it, but it probably not next week because next week's a short week because of Thanksgiving, but maybe the following week or something, we'll do a thing where I'll put out the Zoom link and everybody can join in and we'll just have what did they used to call it? Not a jam session. That's music. Not a bitch session. I don't know. A coffee clutch. I'll figure it out. We'll come up with a name for it. Feel free to send me your suggestions for a name for it. Yeah. All right. Think about it. I'm already, my mind is racing with ideas. So we'll have fun with it, but it will be a way to vent. It'll be a venting session. All right. Joy's idea. All right. As usual, yes. Now breaking news, Politico CBO delivers the score. They're going to go vote. A what? Rap. A rap session? Yeah, I guess that's what it used to. Yes, that's what it is. A rap session. It just sounds so dated. All right. Well, on that note, we're done. I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great night.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The House of Representatives on Wednesday voted 223 to 207 to censure Republican Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona and strip him of his committee assignments for tweeting an anime video depicting him killing Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with a sword and then attacking President Biden. Two Republicans, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, joined the Democrats in favor of the measure. Congressman David Joyce, Republican from Ohio, voted present, and three other Republicans didn't cast a vote at all. This vote marked the first such censure action in more than a decade. Gosar sat through the House debate wearing an American flag mask. He said no threat was intended by the post, but he certainly didn't express any regret. AOC called him out.
It is a sad day in which a member who leads a political party in the United States of America cannot bring themselves to say that issuing a depiction of murdering a member of Congress is wrong. What is so hard about saying that this is wrong? This is not about me. This is not about Representative Gosar. But this is about what we are willing to accept.
So he was censured, first time in over a decade. And when he left the House chamber, he immediately reposted the offending video. Just amazing. President Biden on Wednesday told the FTC to investigate whether oil and gas companies are engaging in illegal conduct that's pushing gas prices higher during the pandemic. Biden wrote a letter that said, quote, "The bottom line is this.
gasoline prices at the pump remain high, even though oil and gas companies' costs are declining. The national average price of a gallon of regular gas has risen to a seven-year high of $3.41, up from $1.29 a year ago. Just remember, a year ago, nobody was driving anywhere. Supply and demand, you know? Lots of courtroom action this week. Let's start with the Capitol insurrection. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth sentenced Jacob Chansley, you know him better as the QAnon shaman, to 41 months in prison for his role in the insurrection. Chansley stormed the Senate chamber during the attack with his face painted red, white, and blue. He was wearing a fur helmet with horns. Yeah, that guy. He pleaded guilty in September to obstruction of Congress for his role in the insurrection. Videos show Chansley yelling at police officers and leading rioters through the halls of the Capitol. The judge told him that his crime was horrific, as you can now see, and merits prison time. Then there's Steve Bannon, longtime strategist of the former guy, who's back in a courtroom on Thursday after pleading not guilty on Wednesday to a criminal contempt of Congress charge for defying subpoenas issued by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Bannon surrendered Monday and vowed to fight the charge, calling the case a politically motivated attack, and threatening Speaker Pelosi and Attorney General Merrick Garland that this would be the, quote, misdemeanor from hell. Bannon is attempting to invoke executive privilege, which doesn't exist. Trump is no longer president, and Bannon wasn't in the employ of the White House on or around January 6th. In a Georgia courtroom Wednesday, the defense introduced their first witness, Travis McMichael. He's one of the white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, a black jogger. McMichael testified that he shot Arbery in self-defense. McMichael, who along with his father and another man chased down Arbery as he ran through their Georgia neighborhood, said that Arbery tried to take away his shotgun and he believed he was in a life or death situation. McMichael claimed that he and his father thought they recognized Arbery as a man captured on video walking through a nearby house under construction. They chased him, he said, thinking that he was a burglar and they were trying to make a citizen's arrest. Uh-huh. The prosecutor suggested that the men weren't chasing Arbery to detain him, saying, quote, not once during your direct examination did you state that your intention was to effectuate an arrest of Mr. Arbery until your attorney asked you that leading question. Is that right? And McMichael replied, yes. The defense continues with their case. Meanwhile, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial is in its third day of deliberations. And in the federal civil trial against the leaders of the 2017 Unite the Right march in Charlottesville, Virginia, closing statements should take up most of the day on Thursday. Deliberations are set to begin on Friday. Meanwhile, lawyers for two of the men convicted for the 1965 assassination of Malcolm X expect them to be exonerated on Thursday. Historians have long questioned the case against the men, Muhammad Aziz and Khalil Islam. Both spent more than 20 years in prison. The 83-year-old Aziz got out in 1985. Islam was released in 87 and died in 2009. A 22-month investigation by their lawyers and Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance's office that, frankly, was opened because of a Netflix documentary called Who Killed Malcolm X raised doubts about the men's guilt. The Manhattan District Attorney's office concluded that the FBI and the New York Police Department withheld documents and other evidence of their innocence during their trial. Just lovely. In other news, overdose deaths soared during the pandemic. The biggest problem, you know, opioids. There were more overdose deaths from the illegal synthetic opioid fentanyl than there were from any drug in 2016. And good news for you Mac users, Apple will start selling parts for do-it-yourself phone repairs. Really? So now you'll be able to fix broken screens and replace old batteries yourself. Parts will be available for iPhone 12 and 13 devices starting early next year. You'll also receive tools and instructions. And once you're done, you can send old parts back for recycling. That's a step in the right direction. And finally, for insomniacs and stargazers everywhere, listen up. The longest partial lunar eclipse in 580 years happens tonight, Thursday night, Friday morning. The lunar eclipse will leave 97% of the moon in darkness. It'll be the largest partial lunar eclipse since 1440. Now, these events only occur on the night of a full moon when it passes through the Earth's shadow. So this one will be a small one, actually. It's called a micromoon, the counterpart of a supermoon, which occurs when the moon is near apogee, the orbit furthest from the Earth. The November full moon is known as a beaver moon, because this is the time of the year when beavers are building their winter dams. You can see it anywhere in North America, beginning at 1:02 a.m. Eastern Time Friday morning. That would also be 10:02 Pacific Time Thursday night. And it should last around 3.5 hours. Enjoy. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.